Today we'll be reading from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, verses 10 to 17. And it can be found on 979 of the Church Bibles. Matthew 13, starting to read at verse 17. The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Those seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it."
Anna, thank you. May I welcome you very warmly again to St. Helens, especially if you're here for the first time today. A warm welcome to you. I do hope you'll be able to be with us regularly. May I draw your attention to one or two notices just on the inside of the sheet there. There's also an outline for today's talk, especially the Christianity Explored course. I'd like to draw your attention to it. It starts this Thursday. I know there are a number of people thinking about doing it. Please would you sign up today and then be there for this Thursday. You can just slip your sign-up sheet there in at the welcome desk at the back. It is an excellent way to investigate further the claims of Jesus Christ in an informal environment where you can ask questions and have them answered. Well, now, shall we pray before we study God's Word? Jesus said, "The Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life." So, our Father, we pray that by your Spirit, you would speak to us through your Word in the middle of what is a busy week. We ask that you would address us and enable us to hear you speak to us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we begin a new series today, and over the next 6 weeks we're going to be studying eight parables in Matthew 13. And I want this afternoon for us to see that Jesus deliberately taught in parables so as to present the truth in a veiled and a rather obscure way. That is, Jesus veils the truth in his parables so as to limit the truth he teaches to those who will come humbly and willingly to learn from him and listen to him. It's quite a surprising truth which has struck me very much afresh over this last week. Our chapter comes at the end of a section in Matthew's Gospel and that is all about the advance of Christianity. In chapter 8 through 10, Jesus is publicly demonstrated to be God's King. So read chapter 8 through 10 and you will find public demonstration again and again and again that Jesus really is God's King. There's a summary verse at the beginning of verse 11 where John the Baptist comes and says, "Well, how do we know whether you really are God's King?" And verse 4, Jesus says, "Go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk," and so on. In other words, public demonstration. Chapter 11 through verse 13 is all about the advance of Jesus' rule. And again, there's a summary verse in chapter 11, verse 12, where Jesus announces that his rule is going to be unstoppable, but opposed in its advance. Do you see in verse 12 of chapter 11? "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing." It advances in an unstoppable manner. Just look across the world today, and you can see that that has happened. And yet, verse 12, forceful men lay hold of it, there is real opposition. Look across the world today, and you can see that that has happened. By the end of chapter 12, just before our section, and it's important that we register this, a division has begun to take place. And so if you look down at chapter 12, verse 48, Jesus is in a house with his disciples around him, and I take it the house is absolutely packed to the gunnels, if houses can be like that. And he points to his disciples and he says, here are the members of God's family, the family of the Father. Here are my mother, my brother, my sister, the ones who are sitting at my feet listening to me. Who belongs to God's kingdom? Who is in God's family? Those who humbly, willingly, readily sit at the feet of Jesus the King and learn from him. Now we have eight obscure parables, deliberately frustratingly obscure, in order to limit the truth they present to those who will, if you like, come into the house to learn from the King. Let's put it another way, shall we? Just to sharpen it a little. Jesus' parables act as a filter. Jesus' parables force a division between those people who belong to the kingdom and come willingly, humbly, readily to learn from the King and those who don't. And I think we see something of the frustration that this kind of, it looks like a kind of an enormous public relations blunder, doesn't it? To tell eight obscure parables in chapter 13. And I think we see something of the frustration in the disciples. You see, whether the Countess of Wessex or the Chancellor of the Exchequer's wife or Saatchi himself was heading up your PR company, I don't think any of them would approve of this tactic. Do you see verse 10? Where the disciples deliberately vent what I assume is their frustration. They came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? Jesus replies, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you and not to them. Well, I think one can understand the disciples' frustration. Crowds are a key part of Jesus' ministry. They gather wherever he is. So in chapter 4, large crowds followed him. In chapter 7, the crowds are amazed by him. In chapter 8, large crowds followed him. Now look at chapter 13, verse 1, the start of our chapter. That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered round him that he got into the boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. No auditorium was big enough, apart from those natural ones, which no doubt you've seen on your Mediterranean holidays, as Jesus sat in the boat and taught. And you can imagine the disciples' excitement, can't you? Vast crowds. Here is the chance to proclaim all the riches of God's kingdom and the benefits of following Jesus. It's as if today, instead of their sort of the numbers trickling off slightly during the closing, opening hymn, and as the reading went on, you know, they just kept on coming. And eventually Doug said to us, look, we've got to go out onto the Commercial Union Square because there are so many of us. Surely this is the moment to get out all the visual aids that Jesus could muster, to collect around him his multimedia gadgets, to keep his team at their desk all through the night as they put together the clearest and most comprehensive PowerPoint presentation for the following morning. What does he do? Well, he seems to present the truth in a deliberately veiled and rather obscure way that is only understood with further instruction. Now, isn't that interesting? I hope you find it interesting. I think it's fascinating because I was taught in my RE classes, I won't tell you who it was that taught me, but I was taught in my RE classes that the parables were simple teaching for the simple country folk who follow Jesus to make it plain and obvious. Isn't that what you were taught, if you were taught about the parables? If you want a series to help the hard-pressed business people in the middle of a frantic week in the city, stick with Matthew 13. They might be able to cope with that. No, we better not go into that, have we? But look at verse 13, you see. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they don't see. Though hearing, they don't hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, you will be ever hearing but never understanding. Verse 11, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. What we were taught about the parables at school was wrong. Through the parables, God's truth is divinely and deliberately concealed from those who will not come to Jesus and learn. They act, if you like a filter, so that only those who belong to the King and will sit at his feet humbly, willingly, readily to learn from him understand the truth. Now I hope, already the application of today's section and the whole of this chapter begins to become apparent. Jesus Christ will show us the most glorious truth about God. It's there to be seen. But if we refuse to come to him willingly and humbly, then we can listen to the parables all we like. We can learn them off by heart. We can even admire them. But we will remain totally ignorant about God. I was taking a service the other day for a particular organization outside of the city, and there was a very senior serving general sitting in the front row. The service took place after lunch, and just before lunch I heard him saying in a loud voice that he had recently given the padre a rocket for such and such that he'd said. Loud guffaws from all the assembled officers. Over lunch he approached me and very kindly told me what I should say in my address. Much terror from the preacher. Now, I'm always glad of helpful advice, and I'm sure the padre was grateful for some direction, and I'm delighted when generals are allowed to give orders. After all, if they can't give orders, who can? And I have no idea whether he's a Christian or not, but it occurred to me, as I prepared to give the address, that if he will not come to Jesus' teaching humbly, willingly, readily, submitting himself to Jesus the King, learning from him, then he will be a totally ignorant general for the rest of his life. See, God's kingdom is not a parliamentary democracy, is it, where everybody has free access to all information. It is a kingdom. There is a king. And only those who will humbly come to listen to the king will benefit from all that God has to give. Well, now let's go to our first point. It's there, a divine and deliberate revelation. And I've spelt it out in a sentence underneath. Through the parables, God's truth is divinely revealed to his people who learn from Jesus. And Jesus makes the point, doesn't he, from God's perspective in verses 10 to 12, and then from a human perspective in verses 16 to 17. Why does he speak in parables? Because, verse 11, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given by God to the disciples. Why does he speak in parables? Because, verse 12, the parables of God are God's way of lavishing the benefits of belonging to God on his people, so that through them whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance, an overflowing. So then, verse 16, from a human perspective, the disciples who sit at Jesus' feet and learn, blessed means favored, their eyes are favored, their ears are favored, because they are learning lessons, verse 17, that the prophets and the righteous men have longed to see and longed to hear for centuries prior to Jesus' coming. They are being drawn to the truth, to the King, and being shown the truth about God's kingdom. I wonder if you remember the Tutankhamun exhibition. I think it was in the 1970s, wasn't it? When the Tutankhamun was sort of displayed and all the jewels and all the rest of it. For almost three millennia, the tomb had remained undiscovered. There was talk of it, there was information about it, but it was a hidden secret. And then in 1922, Howard Carter and the Earl of Carnarvon discovered it. The secret had opened, and in the 1970s, do you remember, it was paraded through London, and, it wasn't paraded through London, it was stuck, was it the V&A? I think it was the V&A, and then there were vast crowds, weren't there, down the street to go and see it and all the rest. A remarkable exhibition, as the secrets were laid bare. To his disciples, Jesus, the King, is laying bare the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, that he is God's King, that everything points to him. And you can see it over and again through this section. It's there in verse 17. It's there again in verse 52, just at the end of the chapter. Every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old, great riches. And it's there in verse 35, which is the hinge verse around which the whole chapter hinges, where Matthew tells us, so was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet, the psalmist, in Psalm 78, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. And Psalm 78 is all about God's King. But to whom are the secrets laid bare? The disciples. Who benefits from the treasures of God's kingdom? Those who come to listen and learn. So just after verse 35, verse 36, Jesus leaves the crowds, he goes into the house, and his disciples come to him, explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. They want to know more, and he unravels for them the secrets of the kingdom. So it immediately, doesn't it, poses for us a question, a personal question, which I'm going to put in rather a quaint and a slightly flowery way, but I think it's the language of our passage. You know, will you follow the disciples, as it were, into the house, to sit at the feet of Jesus, and to learn from the King? The invitation is there, verse 9, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. It's there again, later on, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Will you come to the King and ask him to instruct you? Just before Christmas, a few years back, an individual was crossing the Commercial Union Square, and they saw one of the talks here being advertised. They've since left the city and are long gone. Listen to their testimony. All the 34 years of my life, I had been wondering what life was about. I thought it was about making as many different choices as possible, experiencing anything and everything, getting a career, a PhD, travelling, living abroad, painting, music, literature, and there are quite a few other things, but I thought it would make us feel utterly depressed if I listed them all. In the eyes of the observer, I was successful and gifted. Read the list and you would agree. But I realised that I had not found any answers at all. And Christmas 1999 changed all of that. I was between companies, it was raining, and as I was walking across the square, I saw that a talk was on. And they came in, they sat, they listened, they were intrigued, they learned, they came back again and again and again. I discovered for the first time about an individual relationship with God where he loves me for myself and not for the things I have achieved. I came to see God as the number one priority in my life. And to put it in the terms of this chapter, I discovered the treasures of the kingdom of God in Jesus. To whom is the treasure revealed? Well, to God's disciples, who show themselves to be his disciples by coming to the King, listening, learning, humbly, willingly, readily. So verse 12, back at the start of the chapter, whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Verse 16, blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear, because you are hearing things that people for millennia have longed to hear. Well, I find this enormously encouraging, don't you? I mean, there are frequently things in the Christian life that seem to be far from clear to us. And sometimes people here say that to me, look, it all seems, you know, remarkably unclear. Every Christian has those kind of green L plates on, don't they, from the moment they get started as a Christian. to show that we're still learning. But if we will only come and listen and learn from the King, as it were, coming into the house, not necessarily the church building, but coming before Jesus, listening to him, learning from him, making it a business to study his word, then we will be shown treasures, riches that he shows us from God. That's why the Christianity Explored course, to me, is such a vital and important part of the work. And if you are somebody who's thinking about doing it, will you come humbly, willingly, readily to learn from the King? It will be a great place to start. There are Matthew's Gospels at the back if you'd like to take one away. And you could take it away and read of the King and humbly, willingly learn from him. Come back week by week on a Tuesday. But finally, I think we must return to Jesus' main point. And again, I've written it down there as point two on the sheet. Divine and deliberate concealment. It is a frightening point. It is a real warning. Jesus teaches in parables in order deliberately to conceal the truth from those who will not listen and those who will not learn. God's kingdom is not a parliamentary democracy. If we do not show ourselves to be God's people by coming to him, learning from Jesus, then we will remain ignorant. Indeed, the tiny bit of truth that we may have will be forcibly removed from us. And once again, the point is made both from God's perspective and from the human perspective. From God's perspective, in verse 11, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. From God's point of view, he invites everybody to listen and learn. The invitation goes to all, he who has ears let him hear. But he deliberately veils the truth from those who show themselves not to be his by refusing to come to Jesus. From a human perspective, well, God deliberately veils the truth from those who harden their hearts. When I was at college, I knew a number of rowers. No doubt some of us have known rowers in our time. Maybe some of us have been rowers. I have to say I've always felt that rowing was not one of the most intellectually stimulating sports. Backwards up the same stretch of river every day at 6 o'clock in the morning isn't my idea of fun. And one of the things that rowers used to do was to, in order to impress the girls in the college bar, was to stick drawing pins into their hands. Is that something you've done before? Don't own up. I think it's what finally confirmed my prejudices about rowers. But you can see how they did it, can't you? Because day after day after day after day, week after week, month after month, they rowed up the same stretch of river with the same wooden oar in their hand until eventually their hand was absolutely encased in rock-hard skin that was virtually impenetrable. And Jesus says the reason he teaches in parables is that those who are not his children have hearts that have become like those hands, calloused. Do you see it in verse 14? You will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear, they've closed their eyes. Otherwise they would see, they would understand, they would turn. And so Jesus deliberately teaches in parables. They've heard him teach the Sermon on the Mount. They've seen his miracles. They've watched his wonders. They've gathered in them thousands and thousands. They've flocked. They've poured out of Jerusalem. They've flooded out of the towns. He's shown them. He's told them. John the Baptist has told them. God, through history, has told them, turn back to God. But they've refused again and again and again and again. And their hearts have become harder and harder and harder and harder. And so now he speaks to the crowd deliberately, in a veiled way, so that they will not understand unless they come to him to learn. Somebody asked me at the morning meeting, prayer meeting, where we pray for this meeting, What is the next step? What is the next step then out of this explanation of the parables? Well, I hope you can answer it. I mean, what is the next step? What is the obvious thing? Will we show ourselves to be God's people by coming to his king and learning from him? Or will we simply walk away with another layer of skin over our hearts, refusing to listen? Why not ask that over lunch? You know, what is the next step for me? Why not discuss about it over lunch? As you walk back to the office, where is the best place for me to go to sit at the feet of the king and learn from Jesus? Back here on a Tuesday, in a local church at home, in a study group, Christianity Explored, where am I going to learn from the king? For as we come to learn from the king, we are let into the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. Let's pray, shall we? Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Our Father God, we praise you for the unstoppable advance of your kingdom down through the centuries. Millions and millions knowing you, loving you, benefiting from eternity with you. We ask that you would grant us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts that are soft, that turn to you, and submit to the rule of Jesus, your King. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.